does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has
it all. This morning, on the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy. It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan.
Here's Edie. Held for sell. Open look. Lawyer. He's got it. 15 on the shot clock. Blue by 15. Braden Smith, a three. Right wing. Dagger. Triple time.
Taylor, a deep three. No good. Rebounded Lawyer. He will dribble it out as he screams at the top of his lungs. This game has gone final. And the Purdue Boilermakers play on Monday night for the biggest trophy of them all.
From one and done to one win away from one shining moment.
Yeah, it's the one we've been talking about for all year. It's the one I've been talking about for 4 years now.
Way to grind it out. Like those games like that, it doesn't matter. You win and you advance, put yourself in position, obviously, to play for a national championship. Your time is up, my
time is now. Everybody wants to play on that Monday in April, and for the first time since 1969, hell, back then, I don't even think they played into the month of April, the Purdue Boilermakers will play for a national title tonight. I think if I read Fletcher Lawyer's mouth correctly, one more is what he uttered there at the end of the game as he looked towards his bench. It will be one more tonight in the Ollie Frazier heavyweight battle that this tournament doesn't always provide. Purdue and UConn, 9:20 tonight, and Andy Sweeney on this Monday morning. It's a shame we have nothing to talk about.
You think so? I know you want
a stale, 3 hour show. Nothing to talk about.
We'll have to force it here for the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, fellas. Mark Dighton was up late last night watching a little WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. We've already had to wrestle KB here in the studio. No, we're not talking 3 hours about the solar eclipse today. Okay, and
about 3 hours of the Masters?
Thursday. In the flimsy gas station glasses, they're going to save your children's eyes today. So that's a lot of fun. And goodness, if you're a Purdue fan and you're off work today, you're off work and school, let's say that, for the solar eclipse, and then you get your game tonight at 9:20 for the national title. You heard it in that open, KB. It wasn't a pretty game. It was not a pretty game on Saturday, but a win's a win. And so often you do not get the two teams you want to see play for the national title, the two teams that were the best teams at the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and now at the end of the year. I'm jacked up for Purdue fans. I really am.
12 weeks these two teams combined to be number one in the nation this year from a ranking standpoint. Neither of them ever fell out of the top five. Dan Hurley, brutally honest, I thought after the game and being like, we scoreboard watch Purdue throughout the season, you know, as a staff, it was kind of like, wait, what are they at? Are they at 22-1 now? Over the last 2 years is what Hurley said. Obviously, Purdue's exit last year in the tournament is probably what doesn't give them, you know, certainly the same sort of discussion, but cannot wait for tonight. Obviously, a ton to get to Purdue related. Really looking forward to Austin Parkinson joining us at 8:00. Certainly Purdue fans are going to know that name. Hell, local fans from his days coaching IUPUI's women and now Butler women. He's going to join us at 8:00. And a couple things to get to with him. First, he actually played high school basketball with Braden Smith's father up in Kokomo. Certainly a very accomplished point guard himself at Purdue, Austin Parkinson. And you know, Andy, all of a sudden, that storyline is huge for tonight. Is what do we see from Braden Smith? Did that three with 3 minutes to go in the game, when it was largely over, the reaction from him, the reaction of Matt Painter, does that do something for him? And really what was, you know, in my opinion, the worst game I've ever seen him play, based off his own comments. Sounds like he would agree with that sentiment. And then Austin Parkinson was also with Matt Painter when you know, Painter made that switch from Southern Illinois back to West Lafayette, taking over for Gene Cady. There was a little overlap from Austin Parkinson's post-playing days at Purdue. So looking forward to that at 8:00. And then 9:00, and Mark, he booked this a few weeks ago with Tom Crean. Mm-hmm. Just thinking to ourselves, okay, you know, a great analyst to have on in discussing whatever the national title game is going to be. Well, lo and behold, late last night, one of Tom Crean's buddies decides to say, hey, Purdue UConn, watch this. I will trump the college basketball news world. And Andy Sweeney, I don't know if you're glad that you are not in the market that you were previously in.
It's unbelievable. I'm stunned.
You often say the phrase manna from heaven. That is what's happening to the Louisville, Lexington, State of Kentucky markets today, right?
Yeah, I mean, John Calipari going to Arkansas is all sorts of interesting. Those two parties, and we'll talk about it as we go. I know college basketball fans in the area, they just care about these sorts of things. Plus, when I guess to localize the story a little bit more, remember a year and a half? I'm sure you and Jake did this conversation a couple years ago. Remember when Indiana and UK decided to put together a four-game series? Remember that? And at the very end,
I think we debated if Cal would ever coach him.
Of course. Would Cal ever be in Bloomington like 4 years down the road? And there wasn't one human being on either the Kentucky side or the Indiana side that thought that was going to be the case. And lo and behold, it's not the case. And we'll dive into it, KB, but man, it's all sorts of interesting. You have Cal, who is happy he's leaving and now can stick it to Kentucky by being in the SEC at Arkansas. And you have Kentucky fans that are happy that they now have freedom out from under that massive albatross, basically a lifetime contract that they can move on and go hire whoever they're going to hire. So that will be a huge conversation piece. And I guess to localize it to the Final Four as well, John Calipari signs that deal. If you're Turner, you're TBS, you have him on at halftime. Do you not? Or pregame? Pregame or halftime? John Calipari's got to show his big mug up there getting ready for tonight's game, doesn't he? If he signs that deal officially today.
So do I have this right? We can thank Indiana State's second half comeback against SMU for igniting all of this. Is this right?
Go back
to the first game in the NIT. Yes. SMU is beating Indiana State handily throughout that first half. All of a sudden, Indiana State comes back and wins. So any NIT run is over for SMU. They fire Rob Lanier. Andy Enfield at USC decides to say, all right, I think USC to SMU makes sense. I don't know if Jim Mersey's footing the bill for his alma mater there. But
well, Jerry Jones is footing the bill for Calipari.
Or that, yeah. So that leads to the next domino, which is Eric Musselman from Arkansas to USC. And then it's not like Cal was the first choice for Arkansas.
It's unbelievable.
Chris Beard and Jerome Tang were two names that reportedly turn down this deal.
It usually doesn't go that way. When you whiff on two guys, you usually go low. You keep going down the ladder in college basketball.
You get Pat Kelsey.
You don't go up
John
the ladder.
Calipari.
You get John Calipari. Yeah.
Now, of course, IU fans have got to love thinking, okay, it was Boogie Flan back on the board here.
Hey, listen, that's not a bad conversation to have.
And by the way, we need Rick Pitino badly in Lexington.
Well, of course we do. Yeah, everyone's like, Billy Donovan. How about Billy Donovan? He's been 15 years since he's been in college basketball. Come on. Yeah.
What do you think of Saturday night? Survive in advance, or oh boy, UConn favored by 6.5. This is going to be another double digit win.
Yeah, I'm not oh boy. Don't these games have their own feeling around them? That's how I view it. I could be wrong. Listen, it's interesting with Purdue. Did you not feel like that game got going and you're like, okay, like I picked it 78, 64, 65, something like that. So I picked Purdue to win and to cover the number. And lo and behold, they did end up covering the number. But KB, I'm watching that game and I'm like, when's it going to pick up, right? Like, it felt like, okay, it's a slow start. It's going to be, a little bit more of a possession game. When is it going to pick up? And it just, to me, on Saturday night, it never picked up. And you kind of just had kind of just a slow, methodical game. It was an ugly game. Let's say what it is. I did love, by the way, watching DJ Burns, who I don't have a big opinion on. And he didn't totally call Edie out before the game, but he did a little bit. Like, it wasn't like one of those harsh call outs of, hey, I'm going to predict that I'm going to go out tonight and have 25 points and 15 rebounds. But watching DJ Burns trying to lug his way around the court while Zach Edie plays every minute, something we've talked about with his stamina, was unbelievable. But they did enough. Defensively, they did enough. From the three-point line and the free throw line, they were efficient enough. But that turnover number, especially early there, the first part of the first half scared me a bunch. That's probably the number that Matt Painter is going to be looking at tonight.
Yeah, you certainly played with fire with that turnover number, but you know there is an element of survive and advance with this tournament. Not everything has to look as pretty as it has for UConn. I mean, the Dan Hurley quote of "we've made a hard tourney look pretty easy." Could not be truer. It's incredibly accurate. And again, even UConn, for those that watched it, you know, for 32 minutes, Alabama was crazy. Alabama hit 8 threes in the first half. You know, obviously can Purdue try to replicate some of that? Of course, Purdue's got a big man that Alabama doesn't. And again, I'll echo what I said last week. I do think Donovan Klingon is going to have some issues with Zach Edey in defending without fouling. Klingon has got some kind of eye-popping foul numbers against teams that don't have anyone like Zach Edey. And you know what? NC State did a decent job of defending without fouling. You know, Purdue, to me, obviously it's Braden Smith. It's got to be a 180 from Saturday night. But you've got to get back to your we're living at the foul line if we need to, if we want to. Like, that is an absolute must for me. Probably one worry that in watching UConn again, that I probably should give more attention to tonight, Andy. First off, they're obviously incredibly balanced. We saw it again on Saturday. Those guards are just big. Mm-hmm. They're just tall.
Yeah, they're 6'4 and above, right.
And that does concern me it about should. Purdue. Because you know what? Purdue, the thing we have not talked about enough with this Purdue run, they have defended the hell out of it. I mean, NC State scored 50 points. NC State averages 75 a game, and Purdue held them to 50. And again, this has been, go back to the Matt Painter keys at the start of the tournament. Turnovers, foul shooting, be grimy on defense. They have been more than grimy. They've been coke-lock grimy with how well they have defended throughout this tournament. And Saturday night, that was the constant. It wasn't necessarily, you know, Edey having this, whatever, 35-15 type night. It wasn't Braden Smith playing very well. Sure, they shot the three decently well, but like you said, the turnover number was high, and they didn't get to the foul line a whole lot. I do think one element to Purdue offensively, there's not many I point to from Saturday night that I think all of a sudden has the fan base like even more energized, but I do think the fact that the complementary pieces to Purdue's season, the fact that they all made some big plays and big shots, that I think is critical for tonight. Like, I felt like when Purdue ended a run, Andy, or, you know, really stopped any sort of NC State potential momentum, it was Lawyer. It was Lance Jones. Gillis hit a big three there in the second half, I think, when it was like 39-33. The fact that those guys go to sleep Saturday night, Lawyer, Lance Jones, and Mason Gillis, all of them hit multiple threes in the final four, I do think confidence-wise, that's got to help them for tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then I would say, even to piggyback the Braden Smith conversation, if there was one player, let's move Zach Edey aside, if there was one player on Purdue's team that you don't worry about the bounce-back factor and you don't worry about the confidence factor, it would be Braden Smith, is it not? And I think part of that is because, unlike somebody like Fletcher Lawyer, you know, Lawyer needs to come in and knock down shots, right? I'm not picking on him, but his worth is not just simply being out there. His worth is knocking down shots, and you're exactly right. On Saturday night, he did. You know, Lance Jones, he cannot knock down shots, but can D up. You saw that in the Tennessee game and can show his true worth. And so, you know, with Braden Smith, if he has 8 points tonight and doesn't shoot the basketball well, they can still win. Now, I would not advise that he struggles again tonight, right? You want Braden Smith to be knocking down shots, to be engaged, to be shot-making, if you will, in the offense. But if he had 8 points, I know that he's going to have 8 rebounds and 8 assists, you know, along with it, and a couple steals, and he's going to play defense, and, you know, he's going to play 38 to 40 minutes in the game as well. That's the difference with Braden Smith, but they need all hands on deck. You know, I don't want to say they got away with it, but NC State was a much lesser team than them, and they were able, that's one reason why I thought they would win and cover, is because they are two notches ahead of NC State. Some of the things they did not do, they're going to have to do tonight, period. You know, and by the way, they know it. Everybody knows it. It's no secret. The things they did not do, they're going to have to do tonight.
Like, I'm sitting there watching Braden Smith. I'm like, these over-the-back calls? backcourt violation calls. I'm like, what in the world? Like, I thought I was seeing things when that happened.
He had five turnovers. I swear three or four of them were just head scratching.
Right. And again, like
this,
I don't think he turned it over in the second half. So I guess, again, if you're trying to find some signs of optimism, you know, that certainly. And then do you point to that three late where his reaction and Matt Painter's reaction, you know, clearly were like about time with him. I don't. You know, Fairleigh Dickinson, he, of course, played very poorly. You go back earlier this season, he had 2 points against Iowa in December, Andy, and then he comes back, and in back-to-back games against Bama and Arizona, he has 26 and 27. So if you want to look at signs of hope when he has had a... Because he does strike me as a guy that you just pointed to, of a guy that this isn't going to linger.
Right.
And I don't view him as, like, the stage is too big. Or no, I don't think it's anything... like that, but it was a double whammy from him Saturday night. Didn't shoot it well, and the turnovers. You have to eliminate probably more the turnovers than anything, but cannot wait for tonight because...
You're going to be waiting a while, 9:30. I'm glad you're fine with waiting.
Honestly, you know what I'm thinking more about is Bill Elbert today.
Oh, my God. 92-year-old
Bill Elbert.
Oh, how's Bill Elbert doing? He had a good night on Saturday.
Can he nap during the eclipse? Can we get that in?
Okay, so what are we
doing?
Take
a few naps.
The eclipse is what time? 3:30 when JMV's ranting away on Purdue?
Starts at like 1:45, right?
All right.
Am I seeing this? About a 90-minute... progression to the
right?
Totality, right?
Yes.
I got to make sure I have all my Eclipse lingo correct.
Are you going to be out at Colts Local Day while doing all
of this? Colts Local Pro Day at 1.
That seems like about the worst time to have a local pro day. Well, how bad do you want to be a part of the 2024 Indianapolis Colts? You want to miss the Eclipse?
Maybe they're testing the character of these young men.
Maybe that's it.
What if a guy has his best play right as the Eclipse happens and no one sees
it?
That's a great point.
What if someone's trying out to be punter? Do they have to wear glasses? Is everyone going to have to wear the fancy glasses at 1:30?
Special lens on the camera to be filming this. By the way, I texted our guy Adam Shank. Did you see Adam Shank got fourth in the PGA Tour event this week?
Oh my God, I did not see that.
Best finish on tour all season long.
Boy, that's got to be a nice paycheck.
I texted him asking, "Hey, all right, are you Phoenix bound?"
What'd he say?
Unfortunately, not.
Oh, come on!
He gives me that. No, I can only get out of Augusta tomorrow. I mean, just the fact that he says Augusta just makes me so jealous. I can only get out of Augusta tomorrow morning, aka this morning, and can't be back until Tuesday evening. I'm like, where is NetJets and all of this?
Yeah, what
isn't
are we
this
doing?
The time for?
It's a bad job by Purdue.
He goes,
really
we miss
is.
Almost two full days, and then Wednesday the course closes at 2. I will just be yelling from Augusta.
We can't yell too loud at Augusta.
No.
You got to keep it down.
No.
You got to keep it down.
Unless you're John Daly at Hooters.
Unless you're John Daly at Hooters. 30 seconds quickly on the Pacers last night. What a weekend for the Pacers, by the way. They did exactly what they needed to do.
I know. I feel bad that we have to, you know, put them so far in the back burner, but that's the reality when Purdue's in the national title game. Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell. Just unbelievable from both of them. Sure, there was a little bit of a survive element late in the game. And Andy, I don't want to put too much stock into it, but I also can't ignore it. The most playoff-like games this team has been in this season, the in-season tournament stuff, and then yesterday, they've delivered.
Every time.
And they've delivered against great teams. I mean, we're talking Boston and Milwaukee to get to that in-season tournament final. And then yesterday, that is a Miami team that's been there, done that. It's Butler, it's Hero, it's Adebayo. I mean, they had their big three, I guess. Rozier hasn't been a part of it, but still, the fact that they have answered and delivered in those moments, I'm curious if that will translate to the playoffs, because basically, as we get to this week, 3 games to go in the season, at Toronto tomorrow, at Cleveland Friday, home to Atlanta on Sunday, you win 2 of 3, you're in. And by in, I mean you're in one of the 7-game series. You're a top 6 seed, and we can get more into this probably tomorrow, in all honesty, because there's no NBA games tonight. The standings right now?
Oh, you can be the 5th seed, yeah.
You could even be higher than that.
Yeah, you really could.
As crazy as that sounds. Now, the Pacers are going to have to take care of business this week, but again, McConnell, absolute treasure. Toppin, we've not talked about enough. He's just accepted his role and delivered for them. That helped build the lead and then hold on for dear life last night. So again, Austin Parkinson at 8 and Tom Crean at 9. And obviously with Tom, you know, Andy, we'll hit a lot of national title game, but we'll certainly throw a Cal question his way.
We have to.
Him and Cal are very close.
Oh, sure they are. He calls him Tommy. That's what John Cal calls him. He calls him Tommy. So we'll dive into that. Austin Parkinson, Tom Crean today, loaded on this Monday. Coming up on the other side, what did Matt Painter say yesterday about UConn? We'll get to that, plus scores from last night. Check down. It's coming up next. 93.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love. hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
35107.
The final game of the college basketball season, a little over, 13 hours away, and the Purdue Boilermakers will be one of the two teams out on the floor tonight in Phoenix. Great little montage there from Mark Dykton. Thank you to Learfield, Purdue Radio Network, and Turner for some of those highlights. Cannot wait for tonight. I think our next guest probably feels the same way, although he's probably up at all hours of the night, considering, if I'm not mistaken, I think they just had their third child. Former Purdue point guard, head coach of the Butler women's team, Austin Parkinson, joins us here on this national title morning. Coach, good morning. You getting any sleep right now?
A little bit of sleep, but it's a great time actually to have a baby because there's been a lot of basketball on TV, so that's been great.
That is a great point. Obviously, a ton to get with you here, so we appreciate your time. I know your relationship with Matt Painter goes back to when Matt Painter was coming back to Purdue right around that 04-05, and you've got a relationship with Brayden Smith and his family, but let's just start generally. As a former Purdue basketball player, what have your emotions been like during this run? And how are you feeling on this national title morning?
Well, you know, the emotions of it. We were actually in the hospital the last day. We were there to head home, and I was actually holding my son, Jones Winston. And when Lance Jones hit that three against Tennessee, I about chucked my son across the room. That's how excited we were. But yeah, no, for as a you know, growing up, having seats 12 rows behind the bench, and my dad playing there, and me playing there, and you know, the history of Purdue basketball, Coach Katie not, you know, being able to get to a Final Four, to finally see it come to fruition. It feels like it's been decades in the making, and I know a lot of Purdue fans had a lot of emotion, you know, seeing them get to the Final Four.
Austin Parkinson with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. We get you ready for tonight. It's going to be a late one, Coach. 9:20. You and I have a six-month-old. We'll be staying up late watching this one. 9:20, the national title game between Purdue and UConn. You know Matt Painter, and I know you've seen a ton of Purdue, and obviously UConn, this two-year run is just unbelievable what they've done. What do you think is at the top of the scouting report for Coach Painter last night and this morning as they get ready for the game tonight?
Well, it's 100% going to be taking care of the basketball. One of the things I find unique from the regular season to the postseason, all those hand checks the other night with the NC State guys, they weren't calling any of that stuff. And so times that we might have been in the bonus a little bit earlier, we weren't. And then the pressure they put on those guards. So I mean, it's been pretty consistent. If the Boilers take care of the basketball and they get shots on goal, they're hard to guard and hard to stop. But the games they've had trouble, they've turned the ball over. So I can promise you how they're going to relieve pressure and how they're going to be able to get in their sets is going to be one of the biggest things.
Now, Andy, when Max Bone was born, I wanted to throw him when Marshall got a key first down against Notre Dame a couple years ago. That's a little different than Austin Parkinson watching Lance Jones hit that three to officially send Purdue to the Final Four. Again, head coach of the women's team at Butler, he is Austin Parkinson. Certainly that last name reigns with Purdue fans. I do want to go a little bit more on the point guard angle, Coach, and obviously that's a position you played. And put yourself into Matt Painter's shoes. You watch Braden Smith have a super uncharacteristic game Saturday night. Specifically, anything you would do early in a game? Obviously, Braden handles it more than anybody, so maybe you wouldn't. But anything you would do tonight to try and get him going? Maybe a set he likes, something along those lines? Or do you just look at it and say, hey, man, you're our quarterback. Without you, we're not here. You just do your thing.
Yeah, I think Braden's going to be really good tonight. I think that was, you know, it's one game. It's uncharacteristic. If you look at the entire season, most of the teams that have the ability, like a NC State or like a UConn, they have tried to get up and heat up the basketball and pressure and deny. So this isn't something new that they've seen all year. It just so happened to be, like, I do think the officiating the other night, I mean, you know, when you get in those games, the refs kind of want to stay out of the way. And so they let them get a little extra handsy, which, you know, extends your offense out a little bit. But, you know, Braden, I think, is going to be really good. And those guards are going to have to be really good. I mean, you look at Purdue and the size difference on the wings. UConn's big. I mean, they're 6'5", 6'6", and 6'5", and athletic. So it's not just going to be on Braden. It's going to be on those other guards. And I think Lance Jones provides, you know, another person that can bring the ball up and handle it for him to relieve pressure.
Now, for our audience out there that might not recall this, you went to high school with Braden Smith's father, correct?
Yeah, so Dustin and I were high school teammates, and you know, I've been watching Braden for quite some time, and it was interesting as Micah Shrewsbury got the job and went to Penn State. They took a commitment with him, and, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Paul Lusk because, you know, he called me and was like, hey, I'm watching. I got the job here. I'm watching this film on Braden Smith, and, you know, he looks really good. You know, what do you think? And, you know, we talked through it, and, you know, Braden at the time was being recruited, but for whatever reason, I mean, the teams in Indiana, you know, I don't know what they were watching, but he wasn't getting the attention. And you know, Purdue really jumped on him. And, you know, I know that summer they went after him hard. And I thought, I mean, what a perfect marriage. I mean, if you look at the way Purdue's morphed into their offense over the years, when Coach Painter first took over, he was a big motion guy. He's run a lot more sets. And then now they've kind of gotten to ball screens. And, you know, you get a guy like Braden. Braden's so high IQ. You see the flashy passes, you see all that stuff, but he knows where everybody's at on the floor. And gosh, he's been unbelievable to watch for the last, you know, 2 years. And, you know, he's a great point guard for young kids to be able to watch.
Was there something specific that struck you that, like, okay, Paul, like, trust me, this is a legit Big Ten point guard, even though whatever, his size might not be or the high majors might not be, you know, calling as much as some of these other recruits are?
Well, I think the thing was the size, but, you know, he grew, but I was just on the point guards at the time for Purdue. I always looked at it, you know, guys coming off pin downs or guys coming off little wrinkles and their guards knowing where to go with the ball, but also knowing, okay, if this guy goes here, here's the slip. They didn't have point guards that were doing that. And Braden could do those things. Braden could shoot the ball behind the three. I think that's an underrated area of his game because he can shoot the ball behind the three. They got to come out and guard that. So that puts a little bit more pressure on the defense. So, you know, the fact that they don't have to go under screens and they've got to guard him makes it really effective. And, you know, he's been doing that, you know, since he was little. And obviously you watch him his senior year, he was Mr. Basketball.
Austin Parkinson joining us, former Purdue player 2001 to 2004, current women's coach there at Butler. He joins us on the Payless Liquors hotline. You know, you look at Zach Edey, it was such an odd game against NC State. I think you're right. The officiating that game, they took, you know, usually Purdue would have 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 more free throws in that game. So here's my Zach Edey question. How do you think UConn, you know, it's always, Matt Painter's always talked about it, Austin. If teams are going to just man up and go one-on-one with Zach Edey, then it's boom, get it into the big guy and let him go score and do his thing. If teams dig, if they double, hell, if they triple, you pass it out and Lance Jones and Fletcher Lawyer and all these guys are open for some nice three-point looks. UConn having Donovan Klingon, who's so big, who's a seven-footer himself, but he also hasn't seen anything like Edey. What do you think UConn will do? Just kind of play him straight up and see what happens? Do you think eventually they'll bring a double? I guess coaching-wise, when you have another seven-footer and a 6'11 guy coming off the bench, UConn can match up maybe a little bit different than some of these other teams.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen UConn live. They are incredibly physical. I don't imagine they're going to bring a double. I think this is going to be an interesting matchup with Klingon because of how athletic he is. Now, he's never seen anybody like Edey, but I'm not sure Edie's seen anybody like him as well. And I'll be interested tonight. You know, there's a lot of times that Purdue, and rightfully so, is able to just pin down or, cross guys out and just to get the ball inside, like you said. But with those guys tonight, and their athleticism on the wings, are they going to have to run some of their stuff that creates a little bit more movement to maybe get Edey some middle catches? But it's intriguing, nonetheless, because, again, the athleticism of Klingon. And the other side of it, their stretch of games where they lost some this year at UConn, Klingon got hurt. And so I say that to say is if he can get in foul trouble, they are a significantly different team. And I saw a little inside one of the refs tonight. I saw for the championship game, I was at the Purdue-Arizona game. And, he's seen Purdue live, which I think is key. I think having officials that have seen and ref those guys is important because Edey is such a unique matchup.
Some great stuff here with Austin Parkinson, obviously former Purdue point guard, the son of Bruce Parkinson, and did a great job at IUPUI and building things at Butler right now with their women's program. Austin with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, I want to go back to your relationship with Matt Painter. Again, fill me in if I'm missing some of the cracks here. You were a student assistant when Matt Painter came back right after your playing days. Is that right?
Yeah, so growing up, obviously, I knew, Paint from, when he played at Delta and was a Purdue Boilermaker during the 90s and, had little interactions there. And then my fifth year, I was a student assistant. It was Coach Katie's last year. That was the year Coach Painter was the associate head coach and then going to be the head coach. And, he is, and I say this, is what you see on TV and how he treats the media and how he treats – he is the same guy then as he is now. And I think that's what makes him special and what makes him unique. But – at the time, I'd try to, hang around the office with him and pick his brain, but I would drive him to clinics. And I remember one of my favorite stories to tell is there was a clinic up in the region, and I said, hey, I'll drive you. And so I drove him and, got a chance to talk that whole ride. And we got up there, and he was supposed to talk about the motion offense. That was what his topic was. There were 400 coaches there. It was a sold-out clinic, and Steve Alford happened to go before and for whatever reason talked about motion. It was not what was on the docket. And so Paint gets up there for an hour and talks about side out of bounds, special situations. And it was unbelievable how he spoke, what he talked about. And I mean, I was as a young coach, guy getting into the business, I was blown away. And so, we got in the car on the way home and I said, hey, you were supposed to talk about motion. Did you have like a backup? And he's like, no. He's like, you do this long enough, you'll get there. And at the time I didn't appreciate that. But even after all these years of coaching, what I saw that day and the way he was able to communicate and talk to that group, it was such an eye opener for me at a young age. And, over the years, he's been somebody that I can call and, pick his brain every once in a while. And he's as accessible then as he is now. And I think that just says, that's why when you see all this stuff in the media, it's not fake. I mean, he is a genuine, genuine guy. And I think that's why, he's had such success and consistency with Purdue.
Say, for anybody that heard our interviews with Konzo Martin and Rafael Davis late last week, they would echo those sentiments on the genuine nature to Matt Painter. One more on him, Coach. Do you try, are there like core beliefs to a Matt Painter program you see or you've witnessed that you try to implement, whether it's been at IPUI or Butler?
Well, I just think, it's more of a Matt Painter to Coach Katie thing. I think if you looked at there was one stretch where, Konzo was coaching someplace, Coach Weber was someplace. Like all the Purdue coaches that had been under Coach Katie were very successful. The thing that I think was the consistent, two things were consistent. One, their teams always guard. They always defend, you know, man-to-man, different, you know, the toughness, that part of it. And then the second part was the character part, like caring about what you do as a person. And every team does different things offensively. Coach Painter's evolved over the years. But, you know, I always tell people when I got into coaching, I was really naive. Like I went into it and it was like, hey, these guys, they're going to care about the well-being of the person and, you know, what they're going to be like after their career is over with. And as I got into the business, I quickly found that was not the case. There were, you know, it was only wins and losses at certain places and whatever you could do to get ahead. And, you know, Coach Katie did not do that. He cared about us as men and what we would be like. And, you know, we've carried that to our program at Butler. And then you hear that again with Coach Painter. And you hear all these guys that, you know, go on and the relationships. And, you know, it's bigger than basketball. And, you know, the relationships from the Katie era to the Painter era, you know, they almost kind of wash over because of how involved they've been with everybody.
Austin Parkinson joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Purdue guard 2001 to 04. Obviously, there is the women's head coach at Butler. I wanted to ask before we got you out of here. Yesterday, we saw in the women's game, boy, what great growth, Austin, this year with the women's game. Iowa falling to South Carolina. South Carolina and Dawn Staley, the perfect 38-0 season. What do you make of the growth of the women's game this year, and what did you make of the end of the season, seeing the heavyweights in the sport kind of go at it yesterday?
Well, being in women's basketball for a while, I'm not surprised by it because I see the product all the time. I mean, it is fun to watch. The ball moves. But what I would say, and I think we're going to see this in the years to come, something unique. In the women's game, you don't have one and done. You don't have people leaving. And so there's an opportunity to build traction with the stars in the sport. And on the men's side right now, it's one and done. Guys are leaving. And so I think this is going to be an interesting period here as after Caitlin Clark graduates and goes to the WNBA. I still think you're going to see women's basketball continue to take off and explode. And, you know, yesterday, South Carolina, you know, they lost the champion or lost last year. She revamped her team, got better outside shooting, and had a really nice mix to her team. And I mean, what a high level game to for a national championship game on national TV.
Obviously, the WNBA draft a week from tonight, the wild assumption is Caitlin Clark to the Fever. Is there anything about her game, Coach, that maybe doesn't get talked about enough? Certainly the logo threes speak for itself. But, you know, to me, and watching her a little bit more in the last couple of weeks, it's just her ball handling and her vision. Like, that's where I see so much of these Steph Curry comps that, you know, certainly make sense.
Well, you mentioned she shoots the heck out of it, but I'll give you something. You know, we coached against her at IUPUI. We actually beat her. And held her to 19 points. But the thing that was amazing about it was when we went into the game, she averaged like 9 assists a game. 7 of those assists came on those vertical passes that you saw, you know, thread the needle type passes. So we just said, hey, when the shot goes up, whoever's guarding her, don't go rebound. Just go stand next to her so that she doesn't get those logo threes and those vertical passes. But, you know, I think I hear all these old heads in the WNBA talking about, oh, you know, wait till she gets to this level. And it's like, I think you're going to see her passing be highlighted even more, and the players that on the Fever are going to be, having steak dinners every night with the way that she's going to be putting on a platter for them.
I was going to say, Aaliyah Boston's smile, I don't think was just for Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks yesterday. She knows what's coming here in about a week. Coach, great stuff. Cannot thank you enough for making time for us here in what I know is a busy time. Maybe have Whitney hold Jones Winston tonight so we don't get any sort of issues there if some high-pressure moments arise for your Boilers late, all right?
Well, we'll be locked in. It's an exciting night for these guys to be playing on the last day of the season.
Boy, playing on that Monday in April, it's what every...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hey fam, I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, You're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in Hope today.
Everybody dreams of, and Purdue fans will experience it for the first time since 1969. Their Boilers will be playing for a national title tonight, 12 hours and 20 minutes from now. It'll be Purdue and UConn from Phoenix, and to break that down and much more, because there is more in the college basketball world right now, one of our favorites, Tom Crean, joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, good morning. National title morning to you. Part of me wants to start with Coach Cal, who I know you're very close with, but I think we got to start with the national title. Two heavyweights in Purdue and UConn. If I had to pin you down for your biggest key tonight, where would you go?
Well, good morning, first and foremost. I think the key for Purdue is going to be that they play a lot more like they did against Tennessee than they even did against NC State. And I think against Tennessee, they had a lot of movement. They had Zach Edey up along the top of the key three-point line, setting screens. They were running what's called Spain action even more, where there's a ball screen and then there's a back screen from a shooter, be it Mason Gillis or Fletcher Lawyer, that starts at the free throw line and then looks to set a pick on Zach Edey's man as he's rolling, and it frees up a shot, or it frees Purdue up to be in a high-low with Zach Edey in the middle of the floor. But I think you have to find a way, if you're Purdue, to get layups. Yeah, they need to make threes, and they get them in transition, or they get them when people kind of late double Zach Edey, which is what happened a lot the other day against NC State. They were late. And if he sees it late, or if he sees it early, he's going to kill that. And he's going to kill it with a pass out, and they were able to make those shots. But Purdue's got to get layups. Braden Smith has got to get layups. Fletcher Lawyer, Lance Jones, those guys have got to get some drives. And that's going to be really, really important. So I think the number one key is the movement of Purdue's offense tonight.
Tom Crean with us here on the wake-up call on this National Championship Monday. You know, you go back, and Purdue only shot 10 free throws, Coach, in that game on Saturday night. Just 21 fouls were called, and that is not very Purdue-like. Usually they want to get a team in the 1-1, 6-7 fouls at least, what, by the under 11 minute, by about halfway through the first half. How much, if you're Matt Painter, how much is the way this game is officiated on your mind going into tonight? Again, just 21 fouls called the other night between NC State and Purdue.
Well, you want to establish how the game is going to be called early. And again, by you being aggressive, that determines if they're going to call it that way. And so many times in a championship game, not really the first 3, 4, 5 minutes that are going to determine how the game is called, because they want to let the players feel it out too, unless it's something obvious or unless somebody's really affecting the shooter. And I think that's such a key part of officiating, and it's such a key part in a game like tonight. Is there a foul that's affecting how somebody is shooting the ball? And I think that's big. So getting Zach Edey into the post up is important. But I think establishing your movement, being able to find different ways to score, being able to find different ways for Braden Smith to score, not just relying on threes, I think that's probably way more Matt Painter's concern than maybe than how they get fouled. Because again, if you come out with the aggressive mindset that they had the other day against NC State, look at how the offensive rebounded the ball.
Right.
Okay, now they didn't necessarily get fouls off that, but they got second shots off that, and they actually got the game going off that. So I think that's what you're most concerned about. And then really, once it gets to five, if it gets to five team fouls on the other team, that's when, and Matt's really good at this. Obviously, he's been good at this for a long time, long before he had Zach Edey. But now once it gets to five, now you're trying to do what you need to do to make sure you get to seven. And when you get to eight, now you're trying to make sure that you get to 10, so you get the double bonus. And I think those are the two times in the game where you're really, really looking at the foul line outside of the start.
Coach, let's play out the hypothetical. Yogi Ferrell has a game like Braden Smith just had Saturday night, and obviously he's a point guard that you think very highly of, and you're curious how he's going to bounce back, and now he's on this stage Monday night. Would you do anything specific, whether it's sit him down, whether it's an early play call that he really likes? Obviously, he's your point guard, so he's going to handle it, you know, whatever, 90% of the time. Anything you would do if you were Matt Painter tonight and handling your starting point guard and Braden Smith bouncing back?
Well, I don't think I'd change much, but in all likelihood, he probably does this already. It wouldn't be today. It would have been yesterday or maybe this morning, where you just look at the shots and you look at his technique, or you say, okay, you could have got this here, or you faded early on this, or you weren't ready to shoot when it got here. So you just give him the reminders. It's not like you're going to change a lot. So you just give him the reminders of what makes him successful. But I think when you get into the game, your mindset is, okay, how do we get him downhill? Because Braden Smith is so good in transition, and he's so good on those early pick and rolls in transition, and he's so good at getting to the basket either early or on the first option or so of a play set. And I think that's what you're kind of concerned about. You know, once he sees the ball go in the basket a couple times, and he seems like a very tough-minded guy anyways, but once he sees the ball go in the basket early, I think it's gonna take a lot of pressure off of his shoulders that he might be feeling internally.
Again, Tom Crean with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Terrific analysis on ESPN, and obviously you've heard him with us at a couple times this season, so we'll appreciate Coach's time here on this national title Monday. You tweeted out Saturday night, and I commend you for a little bit of a kind of a young hip tweet, if you will. Coach Dan Hurley is in his bag right now with a wow. Do you remember specifically, Coach, what that was? And I guess in general, just UConn's dominance.
Well, I think it was the tweaks off of his main things. And so it was coming out of timeouts, knowing exactly they're going to get a counter instead of Cam Spencer using a double stagger out of one of their, you know, for lack of a better term, call it one of their motion offenses. It's got a lot of movement in it. It's not a motion, but it's got a lot of movement. Then he backcuts Cam Spencer, and all of a sudden there's Alex Caravan coming off the screen at the top of the key. It wasn't stuff that was unique. It was stuff that was timely. And I think that's such a key. But it was amazing how easy they got the roll game going as the game went on, how easy it was for them to get either the pocket pass, bounce pass, or the pass over the top. And their movement was just so good. So it was taking what they do, it was tweaking what they do, and it was coming out of timeouts or some timely play calls. But he's really, really good. I mean, these are two of the best coaches going. I mean, I think Matt Painter's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. And if there was any question, which I don't think there would, I mean, it was with him making a Final Four, so he's got that now. And, you know, if you see people going to the Hall of Fame, you don't need to win a national championship to get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, and Bo Ryan just got in the other day. He had a tremendous career at Wisconsin. He's been to a couple Final Fours. He's in the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so, right? Well, Matt Painter's going to get in there at some point. Now, Danny Hurley wins this tonight, well, all of a sudden he's put himself in some extremely rare air. So with that being said, those guys are great coaches offensively, defensively, putting their personnel in the right spots. Well, part of being a great coach is what you do in the situations. And that's the after timeout calls, and that's your baseline and sideline out of bounds calls, especially your baseline out of bounds calls. And I think both of those guys are really, really good at that.
Yeah, UConn's dominance is quite something. Five games in the tournament, they've won by a total of 125 points. Just unbelievable. Tom Crean joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline on the Fan. National Championship Monday, we got you until 10 o'clock. We've been talking about guard size, I guess, if we look at it, but this is what I want to ask you. The guards are bigger for UConn than they are Purdue. We have perceived that as UConn's perhaps biggest advantage going into tonight's game. Do you believe that to be true? And if not, what would be UConn's biggest advantage going into tonight's game against Purdue?
Well, guard size is extremely huge. And I remember going back even to 2013, we ran into that in Syracuse. Like, not only were they in a zone, they were longer. And they were longer at every position in that backcourt. And that's a difference, because that changes your shot. And that's why the layups are so important. The thing that's crazy is people go after Zach Edey with the second defender at all the wrong times. And it's like, if he sees it coming or if you've come late, like I said earlier, he's just going to kill that. And then he's going to be in position to take advantage of it. You know, Zach Edey beats the math, right? Like, whatever your analytics are and how you're going to stop him, it doesn't really matter, right? Because he's just so big. And he didn't get the free throws the other day, but he averages 12 free throw attempts a game. He gets fouled almost 10 times a game. He gets 5 offensive rebounds a game. That's math that's usually in his favor. You got to go when he doesn't expect it. You got to go when he's into his move. You got to go as the ball is still being dribbled in that post. And I haven't seen many people really do that at all. But I think as big the guards being big is a huge advantage. But I think clinging, being able to play at the rim and change shots, block shots, be in position is their biggest advantage. And then they can do the same with Samson Johnson when they bring him off the bench. So that's why I go back to what I said at the beginning of this segment, that Purdue is really the best offense in my mind. You know, I'm not Matt, but in my mind, the best way to attack UConn is how they did against Tennessee, because there was way more movement and Zach Edey was involved way more at the three-point line with his screening and things of that nature, which free up the paint. Because Alabama got some layups the other day, but they didn't get enough. But they did get some. They got actually more than I thought they would. Well, those layups came because Donovan Clingan was in movement. He wasn't able to stand there and be ready to block a shot. So Clingan's their number one advantage to me, especially defensively.
Obviously, he's Tom Crean. He's with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. We're getting you set for tonight, approaching 12 hours from tip in Phoenix. It is Purdue and UConn for the national title. Coach, I want to go back to Matt Painter for a second. You know, when you look at kind of your tenure at IU and Matt Painter's at Purdue and those overlapping, you know, the Baby Boilers obviously were great. And then all of a sudden you guys start to ascend. And that was when Matt Painter had some admitted, like, hey, we had some struggles. We had to kind of reassess how we recruited, how we built, you know, how we tried to build it, all of those things. From afar, what have you seen from Matt Painter and Purdue that kind of hit that lull? And then all of a sudden now, over the last decade, we've seen, you know, certainly a pretty impressive run of success.
Well, let me reiterate what I said. When I said Donovan Clingan is an advantage, I don't mean by any stretch it's an advantage over Zach Edey. I don't mean that at all. I don't want anybody to take it that way. What he is an advantage defensively when it comes to protecting the rim. But I'll go back to a couple things with Matt Painter. The number one guy that deserves credit outside of what Matt Painter has done there is Morgan Burke, the former athletic director. Because what he did is he stuck with Matt. Not only stuck with Matt, I mean, when he had a couple of those struggles, but what he did is he got him a contract extension before he retired. And that was paramount, because that allowed Matt freedom, that allowed him security, it allowed him the ability to build his program back up, because it wasn't like they dropped, but they weren't what they were when they had Johnson, Hummel, Moore, and those guys. But what he did is with his recruiting is he constantly evolved his offense. And defensively, they became more probably technique-centered to go with how hard they played, because they did play hard. They weren't always full-court pressing you as much, and because that was such a staple of it. So they became a better half-court defense. But I think what he did with the movement offensively, you know, whatever he picked up, whoever he hired, in the sense of Micah Shrewsbury comes to mind, Greg Gary comes to mind, he allowed his staff to coach, but he evolved offensively. He probably knew offense and what he was doing. I don't mean that at all. What I mean is he evolved it to the personnel that he had. And I think, I mean, look at how many screens they ran when they had Edwards and Klein. I mean, he's just done a fantastic job of having a lot of different ways to beat you depending on the personnel that he had. But I still go back to Morgan Burke. He deserves a ring somewhere if they win it, because it didn't become a Mike Babinski decision. It didn't become anybody else decision. It became this is our coach. I'm taking care of him. He's done a great job. Let him go and coach, and look what happened. And I think that is huge.
Tom Crean with us here, National Championship Monday. Last one for me, Coach. John Calipari, I know you know him well, and last night the news coming out, there had been, you know, rumors of unhappiness now maybe for the last couple years with Cal and the AD there, Mitch Barnhart, but still he's walking away from basically a lifetime contract to go to Arkansas right there in the SEC. I got to get your thoughts. What did you make of that news last night?
Well, if the rumors are true on what the projected money is, then he's really not walking away from much at all. I mean, that's a heck of a thing. I would sum it up this way. Kentucky is a destination school, and John is a destination coach. And I think he really was at Memphis. And destination coach meaning wherever he's at, people are going to want to play for him because his pedigree, what he's done, the pros that he's put out, you know, all those things, they travel with him, right? No matter who came and went at Kentucky pro-wise, no matter what coaches were there, you know, he was always there. And I think he's a destination coach. Well, there is no question that a place like Kentucky is a destination school. Indiana's a destination school. I mean, it's a destination program where people want to be there. And my guess is that Mitch Barnhart is going to have maybe not as quick of an idea as he would have had when the season ended, but he's going to have a pretty good idea on how he wants that to go. And I think at the end of the day that we're going to see more and more of this in college basketball all the time. When you look at how it's transactional, it's money driven in the sense of money for the players, which has to be raised. So there's always going to be that pull and challenge. Are we raising money for the program? Are we raising money for the NIL? Or all those different things. It's so transactional now, more than ever, that you're going to see way more movement. You've already seen it this year. You know, you've seen guys leaving jobs. You think, wow, they had a great job, and all of a sudden they go on to other places. You're going to see it more with athletic directors because of the pressure to raise money. You're just going to see it. I mean, that's where college sports is now. And did anybody see John Calipari leaving on Friday for Arkansas? Maybe not. But anybody that's looking at the landscape of college sports should not be surprised by anything that happens any longer based on the way it's going.
I mean, hell, just look at the dominoes. SMU all of a sudden is open, and then boom, Andy Enfield to SMU and Eric Musselman to USC, and this, you know, now it's Cal, and who knows, that could ignite another domino. We could have several more openings to discuss here coming up. In the month.
Well, Andy Enfield got a job based on a parachute, right? Like, it wasn't going great at USC. Right. SMU gets rid of a coach that was there for 2 years. I mean, they're 2 years. And they get rid of him and they hire Andy. I mean, that's just where the business is now. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean that's where the business is now and gonna stay that way. And you're gonna see it in football too. I mean, it really is. And it you'd like to say, well, it comes down to the buyouts. Well, it really does. In some cases, it does. If John didn't have a buyout or if Eric Musselman's was under $1 million like the rumors were, you know, but with all the TV money and all the money that's being generated, there's no such thing really that's too much. I mean, there really isn't. If you want a coach bad enough, you're going to pay to get him. And if you don't want a coach bad enough, then you're going to pay to get rid of him. I mean, and that's where this is where it's at more than ever. And it's just the way it is. It's not going to change. It's going to stay this way.
Yeah, the Wild Wild West extends much more than just a portal or NIL. Certainly, and great point on the AD front. We saw that with Trev Alberts and some of those dominoes off of that as well. Coach, thanks. We know it's a busy National Title Monday. You could be doing a lot of things with your time here as it's going to be a late night. Always enjoy your insight and hope life's treating you well and the family is good.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you guys. So thanks for having me.